Blog Talk Radio.
Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadik Diner. I think I'm a little close to the mic, so let me move away. And I think we won't get the feedback. So again, Bilal Diner and my co-host.
Abdul Aziz Shaheed, greetings and assalamu alaikum, my brother Bilal.
Alaikum salam, brother Aziz, how are you?
I'm good, bro. I'm doing well. Doing well. How are you today?
Oh, everything's pretty good. I was we're just having another edition of the show we need to put on. It's, again, as you know, this is the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. And it's always our objective to create to know businesses in our community, and we do that through hopefully this broad radio, and any other way we can is by networking. And networking, we mean we're trying to find businesses in our African-American communities. And by finding these businesses, we try to have these businesses, especially on a night like tonight where we have an open mic. An open mic means that you can now talk about your business, and we will get to know who you are, what you do in business, so be informative about your business. The whole thing is we're trying to get African Americans to do business with each other, and by networking with each other in your communities and starting business communities meetings and joining, starting a Black Belt Wall Street business association in your own community, and then network and get to know businesses in your communities, and hopefully you'll be able to become each other's clients. Because if I know what you're doing, you know what I am doing, and the next person knows what they're doing, so forth and so on, we'll see now that there is a service or some type of goods that you may be selling that I could use. And likewise, there might be some sort of goods or services that I have that you can use. But this is identified by networking with each other and knowing who is who in business. So that's what our constant objective is. And tonight is the open mic. So anyone who is within the calling in tonight, this is a night that we invite you to identify business, your business. And again, like I said, our objective is to do business with each other. Brother Aziz, of course, you know this is a continuation, but after my little general comments, I welcome your comments, and we'll go from there.
Yes, Brother Bilal. I'm glad we're able to put this on, this Blog Talk Radio show on again for our community members as well as people throughout the United States and outside of the United States. And one of the things that, we're going to keep stressing is the fact that it's vital and important for our survival for us to have businesses in our communities that are owned and operated by us, as many other communities do. And we're seeing this society right now is moving real fast in a direction that's more fast-paced than it's ever been before. And we got to stop noticing that we see other people forming businesses in our community. We got to get together like those other people and put the same businesses that they're putting in our community, we put them in there. The only thing different between the two of us is that we're not doing it. That's all. We have the qualifications. We got more than qualified business-minded people in our community. And those that aren't or don't think they have that much business savvy or acumen, well, you got plenty of help out there, right here on the New Africa Black Belt Blog Talk Radio Show. We got all the help and any help. Accountants, financial advisors, attorneys, counselors on just about anything you want to know when it comes to starting a business. And it's very important that you get the right information when you're starting a business, because so many of us can go in the business thinking we know everything, but really we're blind. We don't know about a lot of the little bumps in the road in a business that you have to prepare for ahead of time, because they're going to occur. Things like, you know, going in the business having enough finance to carry you through the first year, and that is paying all of your utility bills as well as your, you know, your employees or whoever you have working for you, as well as any other little thing that come up. And that's why a lot of businesses fail, because in a lot of businesses, when they start out, that first year, it's not so fast and rapid unless it's just something special. And it gets you to, you know, to know about what's going on in the world and that. And that's in the business world. And that's what the New Africa Black Belt Business Association has offered you, the information that you need to help you to get on the right path to being successful. We have a number of offerings that we offer you when it comes to knowing about business and opportunities that there are in businesses. And one of the things that is better than anything when it comes to promoting businesses is our brothers and sisters that are already out here that have businesses, and that's what we're about. We want you to come on our show. Let us know about your business. Let the community know about your business, as well as there are other people, especially our youth, that are interested in going in a lot of different businesses, and they'd like to know someone like themselves that could give them some counseling or some tutoring or even work for you and learn about those businesses, because it's a sad thing when you see a community of people that it's all, everybody else has businesses in their community and none of them. And when this is not to degrade or downgrade or talk about anybody in a negative way. What we're trying to do is definitely promote our youth. We're trying, any of our youth out there that got a business that they want to start or trying to start, and you know them or if they're listening, you know, get in contact with us. Contact us at the New Africa Black Belt Business Association in Washington, D.C. And we'll be glad to help you set you on the right path. For those that are new to our show and just participating in our show, well, our association is about business, community business, and investments, and business networking together. And this is an ongoing show that we've had for a number of years now. We're on every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our hosts is Bilal Masadiq Bynum and Abdul Shahid, Aziz Shahid. But we also have a second part to our show also, and it's about disaster preparation. And that's a sister, Aisha Abdul Ali, and she tells us about the different opportunities in the disaster preparation and that. But our show is on every Wednesday, as I said, from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have a call-in number for those that want to call in and listen. And that call-in number is 657-383-1372. And that is 657-383-1372. Also, if you can't reach us by telephone, we also have an internet connection, which is blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC-URL. And that is blogtalkradio, that's one word together, blogtalkradio.com/NAVASSC-URL. And tonight, as Brother Bilal had discussed earlier, we have open mic, and that's, you know, to the community. But also, if you would like to contact us direct, you can contact us at area 202-288-5660. And that's area code 202-288-5660. Or you can contact us at area code 202-903-7278. And that is 202-903-7278. Our email is at newafricava@gmail.com. newafricava@gmail.com. Also, we have a web where you can go and view some of the business products we have on our web. And that web would be New Africa Business ASSOC. New Africa Business ASSOC.com. And that is information of how to contact us either by telephone or by internet connection, or listen to the show that we have right now that's going on, our Red Blog Talk Radio show. And again, our primary goal with this Blog Talk Radio show is to get businesses to network with one another, African-American businesses to network with one another, as well as to promote any business that's out there that wants to be known worldwide. Come on, let us know. Let everybody know what your business is about, where your location is, and how we can get in contact with you. And these are the things that we're about. And we're seeing today, since this COVID disease, a virus has hit us, we see more African-American going into businesses, more or less, and it's something new. These internet businesses, internet marketing and all that, it seems to be a new trend in business. However, in our communities, the businesses that you see there, especially the ones that we need for that we use daily, those are the type of businesses that we want to see in our communities. Nevertheless, you know, we'd like to see lawyers, doctors, grocery stores, African-Americans owning these McDonald's franchises, these Kentucky Fries, and all these other different franchises are in our community. This is the only way we're going to, you know, be able to not just have our community taken over by someone else, and then all of a sudden we disappear and continually disappear. And the next thing we know, our children are working, and our children's children are working for someone else. And the way America is advancing today with our new people coming into America, the new Americans coming in, and that, they're coming in with one thing in mind. They were told some years ago, over in America, is gold there. The streets are paved with gold, i.e. meaning there's some great business opportunities here. And that's what we want to do, is help promote Black African-American businesses and give them an opportunity to network throughout the country as well as worldwide with other businesses, as well as up-and-coming young entrepreneurs. Come on, let us know, as well as the business community, what your business is about, what you're doing, and how you're going to, you know, you need help. You want to know which way to go? We have people that are professionals at it. Not me saying that I know all of this. I'm a lawyer, financial accountant, this and that. I can give you all. No, we have individual people that are professionals at this that can help you. And we have a big community here in Washington, D.C. area, African-American businesses that are in the IT world. A lot of them in the IT world. And we applaud that. However, the businesses that we lead exactly in our community, you know, again, is like cleaners, laundromats, the dentist office, doctor's offices, all kind of business, clothing stores, whatever, that we own. We're going to always have the traditional beautician shop or barber shops in our community, but these other ones. And this is just something to say, hey, who's ever, you know, listened to us, maybe you want to get into that. And as our host said from the beginning of this broadcast some years ago, what one can't do, many can. And that's what Brother Bilal made as our motto for the show. What one can't do, many can. So, you know, many is more than two, or more than one, I should say, if I'm correct. If not, please excuse me. But, you know, we're talking about more than one person forming a business. And truly, people that want to see growth in the community, you can invest, but you got to look. And the older people in the community, when you make an investment, it's got to be for the future of someone in your family and not look for a return on it so that you may have some more material gain in the world. You know, it's like invested in the future. When we get a certain age, there's not a whole lot that we really need other than some happiness and some joy in our life. And that's another way to help promote businesses for our seniors that's listening. If you see something that you would like, you think is a good investment, just go ahead on and get the information you need ordered and go on and invest it. Build for the future of someone young in your family or something like that. But, you know, that's what we do, try to encourage people to either invest together or invest in an upcoming business that you see. This is what the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association is all about, promoting businesses and networking businesses. And we also, at times, have to talk about the politics and how they're affecting businesses also. And we do see politics right now affecting businesses, because one of the things we know is getting ready to happen. We're going to have an abundance of supplies here in a little bit from all those ships that were sitting out there. And they're already promoting and trying to give away this Christmas stuff, already promoting Christmas way ahead of time for televisions, electronic stuff, and this and that. And right now, a lot of Americans are really buying up. They're in a buying frenzy. But everything is going up and not down. So we want to be careful when we do that, because when we spend our money on these little material things out there that's coming along, and just because they're cheap, think about it. We already got a lot. Let's invest in the community, whatever it may be. And I think, you know, Brother Bilal, that's a start for what I had to say tonight. I had some other things to say along the way about the community activities that we're going to be having, you know, but maybe that doesn't have anything to do with business that's in Washington, D.C. But that's what I had to start off saying tonight, Brother Bilal. I don't know if we have any one on the blog that's listening, but I hope so. Those are briefly some of the comments I'd like to start out with.
Okay, well, Brother Aziz, thanks for your opening comments. And, of course, our mics are open and you're the host of the show. So, again, as we go along this evening, you bring
yes.
up whatever subject you wish to bring up, because we don't have a special guest and we don't have a special subject. And like I said, it's open mic. And we're welcome comments, and that's just what we're going to continue to do right now. Our mics are open. If you can hear us, we can certainly hear you, and we welcome your comments. Okay, don't sound like we have anyone who wish to give us their comments at the present time. So, Brother Aziz, you know, when you start talking about businesses and networking with each other and trying to find out who is who, you know, we got so much talent in our communities. And that talent is worth a lot of money, especially when it comes to food services. And especially food services, there's a fortune to be made right there. You know, I was down in the South recently, and someone told me about having a bread that they make down there. And it's called cheese bread. It's like a corn bread, but it's made with cheese and corn bread. You talk about delicious. and you see, so I'm saying something like the recipes. And when it comes to food services, we should be dominating that market, because our food tastes so good. And there are so many different recipes that our ancestors and our mothers and fathers and what have you have left down for us. And just like I said, when I ran into that corn cheese bread, which I haven't had. Well, I'm saying, think of the fortune that could be made in just this one product if it was on. And today, like you said, the internet being the way that it is, you don't really need a great big storefront. You just need to have a good product and be able to service that product to the community. But the community must know about you. So this is what I mean about getting to know, going into business, having a good a business idea, and you're going to find those ideas by having business meetings in your communities. And having, when you have those business meetings, those who can come forward and talk about their own talents, because as human beings, I don't think there's no such thing as you don't have a talent. You may not even know that talent. But I think as humans, we all have a special gift.
Brothers, good
sure
evening.
Special gift. Okay, there we go. I think I... I'm familiar with. And like I said, good evening, and everybody else.
Good evening, Brothers Lyle and Brothers Aziz. I hope both of you brothers are having a good evening.
We're glad to hear from you.
You made it better.
Alrighty, because we can carry this, brother. I was thinking, listen, let me tell you something. I heard you speaking, Brother Aziz, and
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Bilal, in terms of talent, I don't know what you would call it, but I'd like to read something to you that I've written, and I don't know how to really entitle it yet, but it's called Our Lives Compared to Highways. And then the other one is called, it's the same thing, but it's another title, Immigrant Compared to Highways. Now, say that you are European. Well, European, you're on the interstate highway, all lanes open. They're inconvenienced only by tolls, fueling, and other necessities. Asian, to include Middle Eastern countries, you're like the intrastate highway. For most applicants, you're inconvenienced by other immigrants. You have some bottleneck situations, but once resolved, you have smooth sailing. Central and South America, to exclude certain countries, regions, locations, the highway is open to those who meet certain criteria and who are eligible to check the correct boxes on the application forms. Any other countries? You'll be on any other roadways, to include streets, roads, paved as well as unpaved, single-lane traffic, expect some delays, detours, and disappointments. You will receive some admittance after many turns. So what, so that's what I have come up with. What you were speaking of a while ago, brother, with these people coming into our... Let me ask you guys a question. I have this written up, but I guess I'll have to have it in, don't have to do it in sequence. But what is the difference between Ukraine and Rwanda? I mean, I understand, you know, the is it NATO or something like that, where in Ukraine is a part of NATO and we are part of NATO and this, that, and the other. But if that's the case, what do we have to do in Africa to be a part of NATO? Because there shouldn't be anything, as far as I'm concerned, there shouldn't be anything on that continent that it shouldn't be available to them at anything that's going on in the world, because too much is taken out of Africa for the little bit that she receives back. So somebody tell me the difference between Ukraine and Rwanda.
I can tell you one big difference.
Everybody can speak.
Well, the big difference between Ukraine and Africa is Ukraine don't have nothing to offer. The grain that they say Ukraine is supplying for the rest of the world, that's because the United States, through commerce deals and that, allow these other countries to produce and not, you know, not snuff them out, because the United States can produce enough grain to feed the world. Okay, that's all Ukraine has offer. Africa, they got silver, gold, uranium, every resource you could think of that every other part of the world needs. That one.
Well, how come we didn't go to Rwanda's aid the way we're going to Ukraine's aid?
Because it wasn't we.
And that's what the brother, I'm glad you said that. Because we must decide who we're going to support at this juncture or not. And let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. America, that we know or knew or thought we knew, she's on shaky grounds. It's no solid ground anymore. This thing is the miry clay. So what we have fought and died and cried and sighed for, it doesn't necessarily exist any longer. When are they going to release our political prisoners? That's what I want to ask about also. You've got these brothers that and sisters as well who are, some are in exile and some are in solitary confinement. Brother, do you know those people are locked down, some of them, 23 hours a day? 1 hour to socialize themselves, what they call socialization skills or whatever. But the rest of the 23 hours, they are incomplete. I guess they're not. But at the same time, anything that went there 1621 should be allowing those sisters and brothers to come home, to be released, to be readdressed, because it's no reason for them to say, okay, they say it what? Burn, baby, burn? Ha. Huh. What are these people saying? Kill Mike Pence. Hang Mike Pence. Fire Nancy Pelosi. Now, if you compare the two, what would be worse? What do you feel would be worse? So I feel that we as African Americans, as people, as a race, as a folk, we must stand up from now on. The Constitution and all of that is shaky. All of it. It didn't love us when they wrote it. They don't love us when they're going to rewrite it. So we must come up with a plan for our own survival. If you don't realize it, you better start thinking about it. And we got to stop killing each other in the street. I'm sick of that, too. Where the group of Islam and them brothers are standing on the corner, them Israelite people, y'all need to come up out of there and start kicking butts, because it's time, bumping heads and doing things that we should have been doing all along before we were taking off our path of decent people. We need to get back on the path of decency. Brothers, I'm sorry, I'm a hush, and I might have something else to say later.
Brothers and sisters and everybody who is listening, our mics are open, but remember, there are two topics that we always welcome on this show. Of course, one is always business. But politics is the second one, and we must realize and confront both, because the political environment of the United States is totally being ran on fraud and fraudulent activities. President called Donald Trump has actually held control of our justice system, all of the police departments, even the CIA, all of them are kissing his ring.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about bringing the same person who has already done an insurrection or responsible for an insurrection to destroy our democracy. And by doing so, there are police officers, many of them are dead, many of them are disabled, and other ones are suffering from PTSD because of the trauma that they went through, since some of them totally crazy. So again, this type of insurrection has already happened. And as we've been seeing and hearing through the committees that is investigating this behavior, we know what we've been hearing and getting out of it. And I'm saying you would think you're dealing with Don Corleone and the rest of the Godfathers, because I've never seen such, and this criminal activity, and like I said, they have the support of our Justice Department and all of those, the Congress, and anyone who has anything to do with power in this country have all bent to corruption. So like Sister Williams was just saying, how do you live in a society that is governed by corruption? And we look at the election that's going on right now, And you can see that that corruption has been overlooked. It's more or less been forgiven. They're still talking about putting in the same haters that has always been there. So, again, yes, as African-Americans, we need channels of communications. This little small blog talk radio show that we carry on every Wednesday, you know, and sometimes we think, and Brother Aziz and I both, because we both, after so many years of doing this, always talk about, man, it would be nice to retire and just go ahead and do as we please, because we wouldn't have to worry about on a Wednesday putting together a program that would interfere with our retirement or running around doing as we please. But yeah, the more we get comments from everyone who's been involved to tell us that how appreciative they are, because they have a channel to communicate about business and especially political activities. And I can appreciate their comments. But like I said, if you are depending on a communication channel, and it's no bigger than the New Africa Blog Talk Radio, then you can see just how desperate we are when it comes to being informed in our communities. And because of the communications that you see go on in these news network, ABC, NBC, and all the other big news, they are not identifying our community other than a community of crime and how much shooting and killing they'll say went on in the black communities. But as far as going in with good information, informative information too, that would identify with our communities, you're not receiving that. And like I said, it's very disappointing to know that the only small bits of information is like you said, in this case, New Africa Business Association, Blog Talk Radio. We will continue our services, but at the same time, our communities deserve much more, because, again, it was the black man and the production that he produced from the black soil and those rich productions, the cotton and the corns and all, you know, and all of the other produce that slaves bought from the black soil, made this country the richest country in the entire world. So again, it was African Americans that made America. But their returns, as you can see, back to the African Americans is nothing but poverty and trying to put you to shame. So again, what our system of organizing, and that system of organizing is saying, hey, look what Booker T. Washington and the Black Belt Wall Street and the Black Wall Street, look what they was able to do. And look at the financial might that bought African Americans basically out of slavery and made them one of the richest states. And each state all throughout the South of what was known as the Black Soil later on became the Black Belt, and that ranged all the way from Texas throughout the South, all the way through to Virginia, but you have to include Delaware and Maryland because, again, that was a part of slave owners and production. So, yes, as African Americans, the world that we're living in, the times that we're living in, it is so important that we're able to, and I think this a channel of communications is intentional. They don't want us well informed of their activities because it may ignite citizens to formulate their own protection and justice. But again, when the government and our Constitution tells us that when the government cannot protect the citizens, it is the responsibility of the citizens to protect their own communities. So, yes, Sister Williams, and whatever you might want to say, please say it because it needs to be said. Yes, as far as, you know, I listened to, and I know I'm getting ready to get into a very touchy subject, but Kanye West and his comments, words, simple words, but look what happens when a black man use simple words that white folks, and I don't care whether you call yourself a Christian, a Jew, or what, because all of you enslaved us. But when African Americans, especially one as powerful as Kanye West, speaks out, look at the repercussions it comes with a black man speaking his opinion. So, yes, when you start talking about what's the difference between Ukraine and any parts of not only Africa, but the Middle East, the Palestinians, the Yemenis, all human beings that are not even capable of protecting themselves because they don't have the weapons and all like so to protect themselves. Yes, where is their relief, like the sister said? Or where is our release to them, and why aren't they getting the release? Well, we know why. Because we all look alike. We're not white. And we're not, we're not Jewish and we're not Christians. White Jews or we're not white Christians. And because of that, we know that there is the discrimination and the bias, but like I said, when it comes to the African Americans, these are white Jews or white Christians or white supremacists. You wouldn't have this power if it wasn't for the African American and all of the power that you got from the slavery of our ancestors and the low income that you continue to pay to our people so they can stay in poverty. So So that's why we emphasize businesses in our own black communities. That's why we try to tell our professionals, but all of us who have moved away from the black communities, to come back and build your businesses back in your own communities. That's where you can afford to build your businesses. You don't have to worry about renting. You can afford now to build your own high-rises. And I heard Brother Aziz was talking about your own hotels and your own, you name it. Whatever you're going uptown or out of your communities to buy your goods and services, then now bring those goods and services, bring that business back to our communities. Because
yeah,
that's
right.
The only way you're going to realize independence. And and that's the only way you're going to be able to make your own plans. And the unity that can go on between Africa and African Americans is a powerful unity. I can tell you right now, they don't want it to happen because they realize that. With the industrialization of the African American, going back and putting that industrialization into any parts of Africa would now start making that rich black soil that we made America so rich. Now we can make our own countries, and the country that yes, they sold us. Yes, we probably have all kinds of problems still with the Africans and whoever put themselves in leadership in Africa. But again, the will is always going to be, and I see the will for African Americans to go back to Africa. And again, I think where African Americans decide to go, we're not going to be all that concerned about our security. We'll be able to take care of that ourselves. But again, this industrialization that could go on if there was a migration of African Americans and Africans migrating back together. But again, there are many, many things that would have to happen for that to happen. But I'm saying that particular migration and the power from it, boy, it would be an interesting sight. But in the meantime, as industrialized African Americans, we have our security to it should be a top priority because, again, what's going to happen if the Republicans take the House back and that same corrupted organization now get its second chance? And what's going to really happen if that same man president who did an insurrection on his own country, what's going to happen if that hate and those murderers are put back in office? What do you say? No justice, no peace.
Nope.
Could you possibly have peace when you're living in a world and a country that is corrupt? Corruption And that corruption comes from those who call themselves white. And I know it ain't all white folks. And they say that, you know, you got to take the separate the good ones from the bad ones. But you want to know something? White folks know who have integrated their communities. They know the hated. They know the hated. The ones who are hated in their communities. They're not doing anything about it. They live together as neighbors, and it makes no difference whether you're a Ku Klux Klan, whether you're a skinhead, or whatever you want to call yourself. They all live together. And the only time you'll see where they'll start pointing the finger and start ready to fight each other is when one violates their rights. But as long as their rights are not violated, everything is fine. So this question of Ukraine is a white nation, and when it comes to white nations, America is ready to support you. You can see the evidence of that all over the
over
world.
And over.
So
over and over.
Those are my comments. But like I said, brothers and sisters, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. And what can I say? Our mics are open. And we welcome your comments for the rest of our show remaining tonight. So, again, our mics are open. Comment as you please.
Brother Blair, I wanted to say that one of the things that this is some new news, that this guy running for Georgia senator position down there, Herschel Walker, a lady didn't come forth, and she was with her attorney. Another one didn't come forth and said that Herschel Walker took her to a place to get an abortion. And, again, you know, that's some more damaging stuff, you know, saying he's unfit to run for senator or whatever and that. And my comment was on this here. The first claim on him getting a having this woman go get divorced and all that, and then his son coming out talking about it and saying he was so crazy that they had to move 6 times in 6 months and all on, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. And what I'm saying is what we were talking about earlier, about the dirty filthiness of American politics, brother. That's what it is. They're bringing out every little nitpicking thing they can to try to discredit one another. And when it comes to politics, you know, again, this is my opinion, that the media should stay out of all of that. These polls that they take, that should be stay out of the news. They shouldn't print none of that. The only thing that the people that's voting should be able to hear over the radio or the television is that something that comes out of the candidate's mouth or something that the candidate said that they can see. Other than that, shouldn't be all this media out there talking about, well, they got a poll over here that said so-and-so is leading and so-and-so is unfit and this and that. All of these things are swaying the way people can think about things. And the bottom line is they really never listened to what each one of those candidates had to say to offer to the people. You know, so it's shameful that the politics then got to this point to where in somebody that they say like Herschel Walker has been done all this here and denying all, not owning up to it, you know, and he said Donald Trump was his idol. That he wanted, you know, he loved him. He wanted to be like him. So, you know, when we look at these things, and that right-minded people have to look up and say, you know, they know what's right.
Brother Aziz.
We wait. Yes, ma'am.
Let me tell you something. That's what I was meaning a few moments ago when I was saying about the miry clay. If anyone is entertaining anything Herschel Walker is saying or even implying, we're in serious trouble. Now, there are two things right quick that I want to mention. If you do not have your copy of the 1619 Project, you need to get it, and you need to read it from cover to cover. I mean, that bad boy's bad. And also, are you familiar with the Alabama-Benin trade forum? Brothers, they're setting up, and also Africatown. We need to talk about Africatown, Brother Aziz. Little area right outside of Mobile. You familiar with Africatown?
Very familiar with it. You know what? We think that our great-grandmama come from over there. She wasn't one. Her parents was one of the slaves from over there. You know, they also, that's what we call it, but they call it Plateau, Alabama.
Take your time.
And it's over by a paper mill on top of that, you know, over by the water, what they call the buck, down by the ball.
Mm-hmm. Plateau, they got a little town over there called Plateau. All that's right around in there together, but they have.
That's right.
The Africa Tail.
That's right, exactly.
And the Alabama Benin Trade Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers, they're looking at trying to, we're talking about doing business. They're talking about doing duty-free shipping from West
Alabama,
Africa, our shores of shining seas. You with me? We need to look in, we need to get information about Africatown and the Alabama-Benin trade forum. And I have that. I have some of that information. I think we have enough to Google and try to find some of the people. But Mr. Ford, Johnny Ford out of Tuskegee, is a working member of the Benin, Alabama trade forum. So we already in the door with the mayors. So that's something that we need to really think, especially with that duty-free shipping. And you're talking about all those boats out there that's coming in and with all that mess they have, but I don't know what they have, but I know what we can work on. And with you guys going over there, and I don't know if I'm going to make it or not, but even if I do not, Benin is right around Senegal and all those places are right around there together. So if you start dropping information, I'm sure you can come up with something. So, you know, I just wanted
thank you.
I wanted to throw that in. If you're not familiar with the Alabama-Benin trade forum, we need to get very familiar with it, I feel. So you brothers, thank
you
for I'm sorry.
All right. You know, thank you, Sister Williams, you know, right there in that new Africa town, down the bay a little further, was the remains of this trade slave ship called the Clotilda.
Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
and what it was the guy that got to.
Let me ask you a question, brother. Did they sink that slave ship? That's what I was thinking.
Was
go ahead.
Burnt.
I'm sorry.
It was burnt and sunk because they didn't want to leave no proof of what they had been done. It was a bet. The slaves is what, most of the slaves is what compromised what we know today, that little part called Africatown.
Okay.
That's where a lot of them went. Some of them were sold off to different people around there where I live in Baldwin County and all that, Mobile County. And the ship was burnt, and how they got through was this guy betted that he could bring a ship full of slaves in.
And you know what else?
And get,
you know, we saw that movie, the African woman, King woman or whatever, but that they went to that homie. That's where he went to get the slaves.
And he made that bet that he could get by him, and how he got by him was, if you were down in that area and that, it'd be foggy in the morning. It'd be a lot of fog in the summertime, especially. And you know, if you ain't used to that area, surely going across a lot of those bridges, you're not driving fast, because all kind of stuff be running through your mind. So what he did was brought him up the bay through the fog, passed by those Confederate, those Union ships there that was blocking the Mobile Bay from anybody coming in or going out. And they got through, and once they got into the bay, they went down to the furthest point, the far end of the Mobile Bay, and that's Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Right at that area, it's about five or six rivers that dump into the Mobile Bay, mm-hmm. right down in that same area, Tennessee River, Arkansas, some more rivers dumping in there. But, yeah, that history, yeah, that was the last group of slaves supposedly brought into the country, but all that area around there was brutal when it comes to slavery, as well
yes,
as just plain old racism.
We could make that place beautiful because it's available. So when we do our tours of the Black Belt towns, in addition to Selma, we might need to look a little further. I don't know if it's north, east, south, or west, but we need to take a look at Africatown. There's a bunch of history there.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. A whole lot.
Yeah,
you know, the white folks that own that area, there's some streets they're still named after them. You know, it's like these concrete street signs, like look like the Washington Monument. One of the pueblos, and it's got their name on it. And I saw a documentary where they went and tried to talk to them jokers, and they couldn't get a hold of none of them. None of them wanted to admit, you know, tell about it. And one of the sisters had a picture of her uncle that worked there in the early 1900s, like the 20s and the 30s. Mm-hmm. And he was an older guy then, working for the jokers for little or nothing, you know. And they had pictures of them and all of that, as well as I saw a documentary back in World War II. It was on Black History Month when they integrated the shipyard in Mobile in World War II when the men had to go off to war. And what I saw, it just angered me to death, you know, because those white guys had 2x4s and they was beating on black people, talking, I'm not working with no niggas in no shipyard welding. So a lot of people don't know.
Oh, they were hanging them in their uniforms, brother.
Yeah.
Hanging them in their uniforms because they came back with the anticipation of being a full citizen and treated like a decent human being. And for
that,
they were attacked, lynched, and, it was terrible. But we need to do some looking at. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's good. You know, even though that happened there, but we also know that right on down the road in Mississippi and Louisiana, it was horrifying too when it comes to that slavery.
Oh yes.
We used to talk about
it. The whole country, brother.
Yeah,
who wasn't enslaving us for building ships? Those in the north, they were building ships to go get us. So, you know, they said, well, we didn't have the slavery. Yes, you did. You built ships and built ships upon ships to go over and get a human cargo. And you knew what they were doing. Queen of England, they all knew what they were doing, those people in them holes.
You know, the Nation of Islam, Louis Farquhar and them, they put out a book. Called the Jewish Association with Slavery. And they went back in the book, they did a lot of research on this book. And they went back and they told all the companies today that benefited from slavery that were financing the ships coming from over there. And they were all Jewish companies. And they're claiming about how they were dogged and down and stuff like that. And then they make a story about Schindler. Well, a lot of people don't know that the Jewish
Schindler's
people,
List. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were living in Germany. They were German citizens, born, a lot of them born and raised in Germany. They didn't just migrate there at one time. They had been living there for years, like all over Europe, being advisors to the king and queens, but most of all, running the finance centers. If there was any finance to be run, they were there. Other thing I wanted to say is the reason why the communist Chinese and the Russians are going into Africa doing business is because most of the African countries, the majority of them, are undeveloped. Therefore, they don't have good leaders in those undeveloped countries. Those countries are ruled by the gun. So they supply these people with the ones that they have to do it that way. And the other ones, they come in, and because the United States have neglected all this here, who is closest to them, they come in and they're building highways. They're helping build railroad systems where people that before couldn't take their vegetables, the plants, they grow and nothing to no market. And now things are slowly beginning to boom in Africa.
Yeah, and we need to be a part of that boom, brother. We shouldn't be letting the Chinamen and the Russian go in and do what we should be doing. We need to get to Haiti as well. There's so much for us to do.
Right.
We don't have time to be killing each other. We have a whole world to explore.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Now you guys got that right. I mean, beautiful. And we got to talk about this much, much more. Because again, like I said, when it comes to again the black soil and the richness that we've already made from the black soil here in the United States, those same richness can be made all over Africa. And just think what would happen if we took our industrialization and did migrate and start owning and being citizens of Africa and going back to Africa, just think of the huge wealth that this country would lose. And if this country lost a huge amount of wealth, Europe goes broke. Because it's the United States, and it has been the United States for a long time because of the richness of the monies that was made here. And those investments is really what started Wall Street and the financial might of Wall Street all over the world. And like you said, when you start looking at, you see Jews, just like, and that's why I say when you see what's happening to Kanye West, even that word Jew, they try to frighten them and just using fear tactics. And I can't believe that I know that. I can see how that would work in Palestine and some of the undeveloped countries, but they look forward to having to work right here in the United States. I don't know what that word anti-Semitics means, but I know once they put it on you, it's worse than the title of murder, because, again, that's the power, but really of the secrecy of these so-called folks that call themselves Jews, and I like to get back to that so-called calling themselves Jews. We know that when it comes to the Jewish, because you're talking about, I'm a Jew, you're talking religious, just like to say I'm a Christian. It has nothing, shouldn't have anything to do with a personal human being, but it does. And so when Kanye West or anyone else mentioned, you know, the Jews, I'm going after the Jews. And then you see white folks getting upset But if I'm going after the Jews, hell, I'm going after people all over the world. And those Hebrews. Hell, those Hebrews go all the way back to the time of Moses and beyond.
Right.
And I'm saying they were just as black could be from all over the continent of Africa. All over the continent of Asia, and many parts of the Arabian countries. So the Middle East is where this Hebrew all started. But I'm saying today, when you start talking about a Jew, you only see white folks. I've never seen any black Africans who religious came from. I've never seen Abraham's peoples. I've never seen the peoples of any of those African nations again, or the Asian nation, or any other nationality other than those who look like they're Europeans, white. And they're the ones who said we're Jews and have taken over the religions, just like white folks have taken over the religions of Christianity. These same European whites now have taken over the religions of Jews. And they say that it's anti-Semitic, or whatever that funny word is, when you accuse them of point the fingers. But if no one can be a Jew other than a white person, then that ain't nothing but flat out racism.
Mm-hmm.
So again, and again, you see the same thing in Israel. In the United States, of course, all financing got started. Now you see the same thing going on in Ukraine. Ukraine was peaceful until the Jews got in power over there. But once they got in power, now everybody's at war. And like you said, any financial system anywhere in the world, especially here in the United States. The United States is flat out ran and owned by these so-called white Jews. I mean, I can't think of just any banks. I mean, even our Federal Reserve
are
controlled by Jews.
That's
and so again, what is this thing? And that's what I'm saying. We as African Americans, we can't be quiet. Being quiet and being afraid is something that I don't know why you would be. We've been dealing with this hate and slavery for hundreds of years. It is time now. Because again, the only way we're going to have a true democracy in this country of the United States, and let's face it, just like the white man and African Americans, the United States is made up of white folks and black folks. We're a black and white country, and we all are called colonists. Before we were the Americans, we were all just known as a bunch of colonists, and it was the independence that the black man and the white man, who were all slaves, fought and fought his slave masters from all over Europe and got them out of this country that we formulated and called the United States together. But again, we've been portrayed as African Americans, Native Americans, because, like I said, the country is made up of black folks, white folks, and Native Americans. And so again, but you look at the system today, and you have these, and you never heard this word Zionist, but we know that that is another something that needs to be looked into and investigated. But so when you start hearing, we're living in some pretty tough times because we're living in a time where hate and serious hate, but serious things need to be seriously investigated and looked into. Because as far as I am concerned, as a black American and a white American, both of us are being manipulated, and we're being manipulated by the power of these so-called Jews. And because, again, and then the Jews have a white man in their pocket. And the white, that's, and see, this racism stuff that goes on between black folks and white folks is all being controlled. And we all are being paid to fight each other over a little small bone, because when it comes to it, the black man nor the white man owns very much when it comes to the finance and the big businesses of this country. We all are subordinates of these folks who have come over here, and they came over here, and we bought them over here. We fought for them. We liberated them.
Yep.
Only to be manipulated and separated, fighting each other, black folks fighting each other, white, all because someone is saying, "One, you're a little better than this person, and you're better." And man, it's gone for the trick. But like I said, somebody has to save our democracy, because white folks, they've already showed us what they their hate. So much hate has been implied to them, and they've been tricked and manipulated, and so they don't know nothing else but fraudulent guidance. But the ones who have manipulated them is both of our enemies. Because America, and like I said, somebody has to save our country. As African Americans, we don't have any other country to go to. As white Americans, you don't have nowhere else to go. And these manipulatives who are manipulating us to fight and deal with racism and all this other ignorance, when it's all over with, and they take over, it's gonna, I mean, it ain't going to be no better for if you was a white person, white American, or a black American. You all going to be colonized again. You'll be all known as colonists again. And taken over by sources that don't really give a damn whether they're Americans or not. Because, like I said, this is my opinion. I don't have any. Like I said, we as African Americans, we got to talk and we got to investigate, because we know that there's something going on in this country and it's not safe. And we have to secure ourselves. Number one, like the sister said, this business of white people killing each other is absolutely crazy, because we need each other, especially the males and the females. We need each other to protect each other's back. And so, yeah, like I said, our mics are open. And we asked all of our listeners, you have comments, jump on in, because I don't know the answer, but I do know that there is something going on. And when you hear a person, and Kanye West, believe me, he ain't no friend of mine. There's nothing that Conway can say or do that I am impressed with. But still, he's a black man. And when a black man of his power opens his mouth, and you have all these millions of jobs, I mean, the TV stations, all of them, that are owned by Jews, all coming, I mean, hell, Donald Trump's attention has been taken away for a few days. Right now it's all on this man, this black man, who opened his mouth and said something. I don't even know what the man said. I haven't even heard the comments. But I know that I'm hearing from these folks who call themselves Jews. And I'm saying, my goodness, how can one black man open his mouth? And I'm saying, you get the power. You see the power of these so-called folks who call themselves Jews. And so that's another frightening moment. So you start talking about Ukraine. Ukraine is right here in the United States. It just hasn't kicked off yet. But you're Ukraine, believe me, we're just a second away from living the same way the Russians and the Ukrainians. Well, again, these white supremacists and fraudulent supreme, I mean, there is no justice. And when you don't have any justice, how in the world there's going to be peace? So New Africa Business Association, like I said, yes, we're going to have to look at, because there's so many tragedies that has happened to us in the past and presently. And we got to start looking into it, our past, and seeing that the present and the future, what happened in the past, will never happen again. But we have to put a stop to it by looking into our past and cleaning up, because there's a lot of stuff, brothers and sisters, we need to clean up. So again, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
All right. Yeah, Brother Bilal, I was going to say, but the Palestinian Jews and the Palestinian Muslims and Christians that never left there, they all look the same as they did back when Palestine existed as a state. The only difference was between them is like our African American community. Some of us believe in Christianity. Some of us believe in Judaism. Some of us believe in Islam. But back in that time, it was different tribes of Jews. But they were the same people in Palestine. They were all looked the same, you know. Just and what the Prophet Jesus, peace and blessing be upon him, was trying to do is just bring those that went astray back to the straight path, and those that didn't know nothing, inform them about what the religion was about. But my point is, they were all the same people. They just had different beliefs and went different ways. Some of them were wayward, hung out drinking wine and whatever, you know, like that. But the ones that's running, that's why the ones that come over to Israel called Zionists. Zionism is a thought, or it was a project. Zionists were the people that wanted to have a homeland. They wanted to have a homeland to call Israel. They formed this pact over in Europe. but they wasn't able to come over to Palestine and get no land because the Arabs would not deal with no Caucasians, no white folks. I mean, not, the Palestinians would not deal with no white folks, and that's including the Palestinian Jews and all that. It was in America, as you said, Brother Bilal, it was America that went over there and had a black man go talk to the Palestinians to get that land that they got, they called Tel Aviv, you know. And so the Palestinian people sold them that.
Brother Isaac, you see, my point is this. Why? You're right. I mean, everything you're saying is absolutely correct. But my thing is today, after all of this has been formed and formulated, why is it all white? Why are Jews, I don't care, Palestine, the United States, why are they representing themselves as all white? Why don't you see Africans, Jews? Why don't you see Asian Jews? Why don't you see the representation of the Jewish religion here in the United States and all over Europe and in Israel? You don't see nothing but white folks. And I mean,
exactly.
And you don't necessarily have to answer that question, because we want to know something. We all know that it's a part of white supremacists. That's why the United States and England was able to get a foothold in the Middle East by bringing in these folks who call themselves Jews, but they're Europeans. And that's the show that we know is being put on
right now.
And the same show is being put on in over there in Russia. So again, it goes to show the power of white supremacists being spread and the power of it and the killings that comes from it is all being demonstrated in Ukraine, in Israel, and right here in the United States. And, of course, we know it exists in England. So, again, like I said, when you start talking about one thing, well, if you say something, it's this anti-Semitic stuff, but you start looking at a religious of millions of peoples all over the world, but when it comes to the representation of the religious, you only see white supremacists. And that same white supremacy... Yes, go right ahead. Like I said, our mics are open.
Brother Bilal, we you and I talked about this here, and I'm just throwing the question out there again. How does a comedian who had no idea of wanting to run for president, how does a comedian become the president of a country that big? You tell me.
Not only become the president, but how does that same, well, we know he's Jewish, but how is he and the rest of his Jewish community, how is it they can go over there and take over Ukraine? and not only become the president, but everything else that has anything to do with Ukraine, they're the ones who like this. Like they are in the United States, the same way they are in, Israel. I understand white supremacy, but how did they become damned to the head of white supremacy?
Yeah, well, you know, they've been promoting that for a good while, bro.
It's been going on for a long time. Hell, it started. We know it started World War II.
Up until that time, they had been ostracized by the Europeans for killing Jesus. Peace and blessings to your party. You know, that's the doctrine.
That's the doctrine that had been put out against them. Like I said, we can go back into the history and we'll see all kinds of proof today we're actually living the results of what was organized and has been organized for a long period of time.
A long
time. The Illuminati. That Illuminati, and we know about it, is at its most powerful peak right now.
No, probably.
And that's why
indeed.
We're going through the wars that we're going through. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Well, when I say I would be a bit surprised if there won't be more, but hell, we haven't concluded the one that has been started right here in the United States. The insurrection have already, I mean, like I said, there are folks that are dead. Did you, and when they show that picture, you see the tens of thousands of white folks that was on the Capitol ground that day?
Yep, indeed.
Those around the country that wasn't there, and now you see their power from their the voting that's going on. Like you said, Chief, they got puppets like Hersey Walker. Hersey Walker can't even read and write.
Yeah.
But this man is supposed to be a lawmaker. He's supposed to write legislation. He's a legislator.
Yeah.
This man don't even know how to spell legislation. Don't know what the hell legislation means.
And yes, he's going to fight there and represent somebody.
Yeah, because, again, he can be a puppet for white folks. So that's all they give a damn. They don't care nothing about. So that goes to show what do they care about the democracy of this country. When you are talking about putting in someone who is a lawmaker,
he pulled out that little badge. He pulled out that little police badge he had.
I mean,
they told him it was equivalent to what. They said it was equivalent to what you get out of a Cracker Jack box.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm saying. I mean the stupidity of when they put the man on TV, and look at the ignorance that you get from it. So, Butter, you want to know something? A whole lot of white folks is vote born. Why? Because they know they have a puppet. But the stupidity of this puppet that you want to put in there is a lawmaker. What's going to happen if we go to war or something like that where real tough decisions have to be made and you got a stupidity like that your legislation? You don't think somebody around the world is not going to take the advantage of that kind of ignorance?
Yeah.
So again, brother,
they did it when Trump was in office.
and the thing about it, you see, just like I said, those manipulators, whoever they might be, I don't want to be a Kanye or anybody. But again, I do want to know, though, when it comes to me saying that a white person this or a Jew that, and all of a sudden just by me saying it, he's one of those that ends up, like I said, I don't even know how to say the word. I don't even know what the hell it means. But, and that's supposed to keep you quiet. It's supposed to shut up because of that. And why they do that day to you. You know, like I said, brother, we got to circle the wagon and come together in all of our communities. And I suggest everybody have protection. Anyone who's in their homes and stuff like that, and you don't have something to protect yourself, because the insurrection has already happened. Ain't no one has said anything about we're going to find those who are responsible, the millions of the thousands, and see to it that they pay for their insurrection, and not only the tens of thousands that was at the Capitol, but those who sent in their support, because remember the monies that were that had to come in to support reaction. And we are now, once we start having a committee to investigate, we're finding that some of these supporters was major generals in the military. White
yeah.
supremacists want to tear down the democracy of a country that they were supposed to be defending by having three stars on their chest saying that they're major generals. You know, but yet still
they're truly traitors. They're truly traitors to our nation.
Not only that, you have police chiefs. You had police. You go right ahead, Ms. Williams. Anybody else who is on, like I said, we got our station open. We're going to be closing out here in a few moments. But we must communicate.
We've got
so much to communicate about. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I want to ask a question, and I need your input, and Brother Aziz and whoever else may want to contribute, because, you know, you had mentioned earlier about how we're going to prepare ourselves, because we do have this big influx of people, and all that, and they're not going to have anything for cohesiveness, community cohesiveness. So if I see you taking what I feel you taking too much from me, then it's going to be an explosion. To keep this mm-hmm. from happening, I feel that we need to start having some type of diversity where we're meeting with the people that's coming in from all these different places that we know sooner or later going to come into our communities for our goods and services. So, therefore, if we can sit down and maybe start to collaborate with these people and speak with them and talk with them and find out how can we work together to have something, because the way I see it, it's going to be the same way as it was when slavery, when we walked off or ran off or drove off or however we got off some of those plantations all those years ago, unprepared. And when you're unprepared, you're like the people in the wilderness for 40 years. You're just walking around aimlessly. So I feel that to start looking towards how can we do something to keep for what the Caucasians are hoping, because they can put us all out there together and say just fight it out and may the best man win. And that's not going to be fair to us. So we need to start thinking about how we can be, as you said a few some weeks ago, Brother Bilal, how we can be proactive as compared to being reactive. Now, I saw that interview with Pierce. I think his name is Pierce Morgan or something like that, with Kanye, and it was about an hour and 20 minutes long. And Kanye, mm-hmm. even though like you, I mean like several of African American, I don't care about Ye one way or another. But now, what the brother was saying, some of that stuff was making a little bit of sense when he was saying that when they get these entertainment, whether you're sports or singing or rapping or movies or whatever you're doing, you always sign a contract with a Jew. And he says yeah. that he needs to find out how he can get some of those monies to his mm-hmm. own. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And when the brother was talking about mm-hmm. the 12 tribes, the brother, he was all over the place, but he was talking. The brother was talking about the 12 mm-hmm. tribes, and he was saying the same thing you said. What made you think all Jews are just white? But
mm-hmm. right.
that he was speaking of, that he wanted to talk about the money, or exactly what he's speaking of, Caucasian folk. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, mm-hmm. he was on that. If you go to YouTube, you YouTube it.
Sister Wim.
Yes, sir.
The thing about it, this is why I'm saying I don't have no, I don't know Kanye, and I don't know very much about him, but
yes.
I do know that Kanye has a, done a lot of huge business with Caucasians, because I call them Caucasians, because you look at them, they all look like Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to know the Jews until they admit
no.
it. Or,
they They all checking the same box.
Them and all of a sudden they start coming out, but they basically look like Caucasians. They hide. You know, they're Caucasians. They're all European.
Yeah.
But getting back to Kanye, you see, a brother like Kanye, and we need to listen to someone like Kanye because Kanye and him been places with these powerful Jews or whatever you call them, that we would never be able to go. We would never be able to know. So he know that.
They say he's worth $2 billion.
See, that's what I'm saying, because Kanye is worth so much money. But like Kanye said, if I'm worth $2 billion, think what the money's I'd have made for you.
Right.
And so, again, how can I get in on the monies I'm making for you? How can I make that money? And he knows that opportunity don't prevail itself to him or no other American, white or black. And but it prevails itself to those who call themselves Jews. And it's a conversation that should be talked about, but once you open the mic for conversation, you see where you get all in there. Oh my goodness, he's an anti-Semitic, and in other words, they're talking, let's put the rope around his neck and then hang him, you know, go on 2-4. So that's again, yes, I'm interested in what a powerful person like Kanye have to say, because again, as an African American, he's been somewhere where we haven't had the privileges of experiencing. I mean, Kanye is not
That's
a
right.
well-educated person. You can tell from the way he speaks, but the man is well-educated because of his experiences. And again, those experiences are business experiences, and I can appreciate that. And I need to hear from that. And at some point, he carries a leadership role simply because of the power that he's experienced as an African American. We want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know about it.
Yeah, that Kanye West, he's got a lot of money. He's been places, like you say, that we haven't never been, and he has a lot to talk about. But, you know, most people don't want to listen to him because ever since he had lost his mother, you know, he took it real very, very hard, you know, because he was a younger person, you know, and that's all he had was his mother. So he was a little disturbed, and these Kardashian girls and took him for a loop. And he got a few children by that one. I know at least two or three. So they milking him there in one way, but you know, it's like him making the statements that he makes. As Sister Joy said, that's impressive there. You know, because a lot of people don't know that thing they call the Federal Reserve Bank. They don't know who the financiers of that, you know. Lock them all the time. Yes.
All of them.
So, you know, so all our money the United States gets to run this government comes from them. So people need to wake up, you know, like you said. We need to get some business. Talking about businesses, you know, 10 businesses that we could use in our community that we need, that we see everybody else has and more, 10 of those businesses, it wouldn't cost $100,000 per business to get started. I'm talking about $1 million, $1 million to start 10 of those businesses, $100,000 to get a laundry cleaning business or a convenience store.
Brother Aziz, I'm totally convinced. And I go back now to Sam Harris. That there are many, many parts in the African-American community where if you took $1 million, you could buy the entire block.
Yes, sir. Right. Yeah.
And then when you buy the entire block and you own the entire block, now you make your own business plans. And so this is what I mean about African-Americans become vested with each other. Because in their own communities, because of the economic, the economics haven't really reached our community, we're still in a position where we could take $1 million and probably could buy the entire block in many of our communities.
Yeah.
But that's about to change. The newcomers that are coming into communities, they're going to buy that block. And once they buy the block, now your opportunities as an African-American have been shot. And your only way of surviving now is to get yourself a job and become a wage earner and continue to be a wage earner to take care of your family. And, of course, we see what wage earners, especially those who don't have trade skills or a college degree, you can see your wage earning and the cost of living. When you get your check, you're already underwater. Because you didn't make enough monies this week to pay the expenses of your ongoing cost of living. So you need to really run a very, very low budget, tight budget, because you need this week's pay and a portion of your next week's pay just to pay last week's bills. But remember, the new bills for this week are coming up. So it's like sharecropping when you're a wage earner. And that means that I can never catch up and live a normal, prosperous life because, again, my abilities for wages. I'm making low wages, and as a salary owner, that's not going to change until they give me a pay raise. But when I get a pay raise, the cost of living went up twice. So when you're not in a position to be in business and make your own business plans and be able to have earnings that is unlimited, then now you can have the dreams and the possibilities and the probabilities of a good life. So brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, it's coming to almost our time for closing out another edition. We still have a few moments for comments of anyone, and especially the three of us who have been talking most of the show tonight. Any closing comments from any of us or from any of our listeners? Our mics are open.
No, Lord, I'd just like to say, Brother Bilal, I hope our listeners have got something good out of what we've discussed tonight, and I want to thank Sister George for her participation also.
And that's one of the comments that you you have in your clothing. Sister Wim. Okay, she may have closed that on us. But anyway, we do have an African conference that is coming up that we mentioned earlier. That conference is going to be December the 17th until December the 24th, sponsored by the NMBA, the National Business Conference. And they're going to be going to parts of Africa. They'll be going to Sierra Leone and look like Senegal business conference. So those of you who would like to talk about the future of African Americans and Africans, then that number is 704-201-1353 or 888-776-9908. And you'll be able to get registration information and any other information you need about the business trip that we're going to be taking in Africa December the 17th to the 24th. Again, the number 704-201-1353 or 888-776-9908. So brothers and sisters and brothers, as always, it was our pleasure. And we look forward to our next session of the New Africa Business Relations every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Good evening.
Good night.